All right, so you know we're always talking about thinking and acting locally. Well, that got me thinking about all the ways we interact with the federal government every day. And I realized that there are actually way more touch points than you might think. I mean, obviously there are the big ones like, a national defense and the legal system. But what about all those little interactions that we don't even think about? Like the
The
mail,
mail,
the roads we drive on, the food we eat.
The air we breathe.
Yeah, exactly. The federal government has a hand in all of it.
It's true.
But, and of all those touch points, I think the one that feels the most personal, the one that really hits home, so to speak, is the income tax.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, am I right? It's like the one time a year where we're all forced to sit down and really grapple with our relationship with the federal government.
Absolutely.
So for this deep dive, we're going to explore that relationship in more detail. And we're going to start with this fascinating book by a guy named Bill Conklin. Have you heard of him?
I have,
It's called Why No One Is Required to File Tax Returns. And let me tell you, this guy is a, well, he's a character.
Yeah, I can imagine.
He calls himself a tax protester, which is definitely a loaded term. But the thing is, he actually spent over 20 years battling the IRS in court.
No way.
And he won several times.
Really?
Yeah, his story is pretty wild.
So how did you manage to do that?
Well, that's where it gets really interesting. Conklin based his whole legal argument on the Fifth Amendment.
The Fifth Amendment.
The one that says you can't be forced to incriminate yourself. He argued that this applies to tax returns too.
Interesting.
And he was so confident in his interpretation that he even offered a $50,000 reward
What?
to anyone who could prove him wrong.
Wow.
So now you can see why we had to dig into this
Oh,
one.
yeah, this is fascinating.
Now, for anyone who needs a quick refresher, the Fifth Amendment basically says that you can't be forced to testify against yourself. So the question is, how does that work with the income tax?
Yeah, that's a good question.
It seems kind of contradictory. Like, how can something be mandatory but also protected by the Fifth Amendment?
Well, the IRS has this whole kind of dance that they do around this
Oh,
issue.
really?
They emphasize the voluntary nature of the tax system.
Voluntary.
You'll see that word all over their publications. But then at the same time, they also have this whole system of penalties
Oh, boy.
if you don't volunteer your information and your money.
So it's voluntary, but with consequences. That's a bit of a head scratcher, isn't it?
It is.
And it's one of the things that Conklin really digs into in his book. He points to things like the IRS Privacy Act notice, which is supposed to lay out your rights as a taxpayer, right? And then there's also Section 6012 of the Internal Revenue Code,
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that one.
which uses the word shall when it comes to filing.
Shall, huh?
And Conklin's whole argument hinges on the interpretation of that one little word.
Interesting.
He says, shall in this context should be read as permissive, not mandatory.
Because of the Fifth Amendment.
And, he also claims that the IRS uses fear tactics.
Fear tactics.
Yeah, particularly the threat of criminal prosecution to pressure people into complying.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because think about it, the possibility of going to jail for not pipping your taxes, that's a pretty strong incentive to just do what they say right.
Definitely.
And this is where Conklin's story gets even crazier. He actually decided to test the system himself by sending the IRS a completed tax return.
He filed his taxes.
He filled it out, but he refused to sign it.
He didn't sign it. Why not?
He argued that he couldn't sign it under penalty of perjury because of, you guessed it, the Fifth Amendment. And what do you think happened?
I don't know. What did they do?
They fined him $500.
Seriously? Just for not signing.
His argument was that the IRS was being inconsistent.
Inconsistent how?
Because sometimes they accept unsigned returns and sometimes they don't.
Oh, I see.
And he believed they were using this inconsistency to their advantage to basically trap taxpayers.
That's wild.
It is, right?
And this is all based on the Fifth Amendment.
Yeah, it all comes back to that. And get this, during one of his court cases, the judge actually said
What did the judge say?
that ruling in Conklin's favor would essentially overturn the federal tax system. That's a pretty heavy statement, right?
It
I mean,
is.
think about the implications of that. If one guy with a Fifth Amendment argument could bring down the whole system.
Yeah, that's pretty mind-blowing.
It is, right?
So what else did Conklin have to say?
Well, he didn't hold back, let me tell you that. At one point, he even compared the IRS to the Gestapo.
Whoa.
Yeah, strong words, right?
Yep.
But, you know, in a way, I kind of get where he's coming from.
Yeah.
It's easy to feel like the IRS has all the power.
Right.
Like they can just come in and take what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
It can feel that way sometimes.
But the thing is, they're not above the law.
Right.
They still need a search warrant to enter your home.
Uh-huh.
And you always have the right to assert the Fifth Amendment if you're facing an IRS inquiry.
That's good to know.
I actually have a friend who successfully used the Fifth Amendment during an IRS investigation.
Really?
Yeah. It just goes to show you that knowledge is power.
Absolutely.
You got to know your rights.
For sure.
So what does Conklin suggest people do if they want to push back against the system?
Yeah, what's his advice?
Well, he's got some radical ideas.
Like what?
Like becoming what he calls judgment proof.
Judgment proof? What does that mean?
Basically, it means having no assets that the IRS can seize.
Oh, wow.
No house, no fancy cars, no big bank accounts.
That's pretty extreme.
It is. Right?
So how do you even do that?
That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
But he also recommends prepaying any potential tax liability.
Prepaying?
Yeah. And then challenging the system through legal means.
Oh, wow.
It's like he's saying, I'll play your game, but I'm going to make you explain the rules every step of the way.
That's a bold strategy.
It is. And, you know, it's definitely not for everyone.
Right.
But his story really makes you think, doesn't it?
It does.
About the power dynamics between everyday people
mm-hmm.
and the government.
Definitely. It's kind of interesting, though, how Conklin's story really ties back to that think and act locally idea.
I know, right?
Like, he's taking it to a whole other level.
Definitely.
But the underlying message is still the same.
Yeah.
It's about understanding your rights as a citizen
mm-hmm.
and engaging with these systems that impact our lives, even the complex ones like taxes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to feel like, you know, one person can't make a difference when it comes to something as big as the federal government. But his story shows that individuals can make a stand.
Yeah.
They can question things.
Yeah.
And they can even win legal battles against the IRS.
That's true.
And the thing is, he wasn't a lawyer or anything.
Really?
He was just a regular guy with a strong conviction.
Wow.
And that raises kind of a fundamental question, I think.
What's that?
Can we have a tax system that's both effective, you know, it funds essential government services, but also respects individual rights?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It really is. Like, we all benefit from things like roads and schools and national defense.
Yeah, yeah.
But where do we draw the line?
Right.
When it comes to individual freedom and government authority.
It's a tough balance.
It is.
And finding that sweet spot requires, you know, open dialogue and debate.
Yeah.
A willingness to examine our assumptions about how these systems should work.
Totally. You know, and while we're on the topic of history, I found it fascinating that when Congress first introduced the income tax, they actually debated whether or not to include individuals at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The initial focus was on corporations and joint stock companies.
Interesting.
In fact, President Taft, in his 1909 address to Congress, he specifically said that the new tax shouldn't apply to the wages of the laborer or even the professional man.
Wow. Talk about a different era.
Right.
But then, of course, things changed.
Oh, yeah.
And now the income tax is a central part of our lives as American citizens.
It's unavoidable.
It is. But, you know, the evolution of the income tax is a reflection of larger shifts in our society and political landscape.
That's a good point.
And understanding that historical context can help us see how we got to where we are today.
Yeah.
And maybe offer some clues about how to move forward.
Absolutely. And speaking of how we got here.
Okay.
Conklin makes this rather provocative claim.
Oh, what's that?
That he's searched the entire Internal Revenue Code.
The whole thing.
Yeah, that's the legal framework for the income tax.
Right.
And he says he can't find a specific statute that explicitly makes individuals liable to pay income tax.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's focusing on the wording of Section 6012, which uses the word shall in relation to filing.
Right, right, shall.
And his argument is that shall, in this context, should be interpreted as permissive.
Not mandatory.
Right.
Because of the Fifth Amendment.
Exactly. He also points out that according to the code, the only way someone actually becomes liable for the tax is if they voluntarily file a return or if the IRS files one for them.
Interesting.
It's like he's saying the whole system is built on this unspoken assumption that we're all supposed to file, but it's never explicitly stated as a requirement.
Huh.
Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. His argument highlights the potential for, you know, ambiguity and differing interpretations within legal language, and it definitely raises questions about whether an implied obligation is enough in a system that places so much emphasis on individual rights.
Yeah.
It's thought-provoking, to say the least.
It is. And then he circles back to the IRS's use of the word voluntary in their publications, which we touched on earlier. He pulls out examples where they repeatedly emphasize the voluntary nature of the system.
Right.
But then simultaneously have this elaborate system of fines and penalties if you don't comply.
Yeah. Like they're trying to have their cake and eat it too.
Exactly.
But that seemingly contradictory approach is at the heart of Conklin's critique.
It is.
He sees it as a fundamental flaw that allows the IRS to avoid the constitutional questions that would come up if they explicitly required people to file.
Yeah, it's a clever strategy if you think about it.
It is.
But Conklin doesn't stop there. He also criticizes the court system.
What does he say about the courts?
He argues that there's a bias towards upholding the existing tax system.
Okay.
Even if it means bending legal interpretations.
Interesting.
And, you know, while his perspective is definitely shaped by his experiences as a tax protester, it does raise important questions about the challenges individuals face when they try to challenge established systems, especially ones as powerful as the IRS.
For sure.
He shares examples of court cases where he believes the judges intentionally avoided addressing the Fifth Amendment issue head on.
Really?
Yeah. They dismissed his arguments as frivolous without actually engaging in a meaningful debate. And that kind of avoidance, whether it's intentional or not, it can lead to a feeling of powerlessness for individuals who are trying to assert their rights.
Definitely.
It contributes to that perception that the system is rigged against them.
Exactly.
And Conklin's point is that by avoiding these fundamental questions, the courts are perpetuating a system that is ultimately unsustainable.
Interesting.
He believes that as more people wake up to these inherent contradictions, the pressure for real reform will become undeniable.
It's a perspective that challenges us to think beyond just the mechanics of the tax system and consider the philosophical and ethical foundations that underpin it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So where does that leave us? What can we do as individuals?
Yeah. What's the takeaway here?
Well, Conklin throws out some pretty radical suggestions.
Like what?
Like becoming judgment-proof and prepaying any potential tax liability.
Yeah.
And then fighting the system through lawsuits.
Right, right.
Which is, you know,
a high-stakes strategy.
A high-stakes strategy for sure. Definitely not for the faint of heart.
Definitely not.
But his approach, even if it's extreme, does highlight the potential impact that individuals can have in holding systems accountable.
Right.
It's a reminder that we're not just passive recipients of government policies. We can be active participants in shaping those policies.
Absolutely.
It's like he's taking this stand and saying, if you're going to make me play this game, I'm going to play it on my terms.
Yeah.
But, you know, even if his methods are a bit extreme, his story does make you think about the power dynamics between everyday people and the government.
Absolutely. It highlights the need for transparency and accountability, especially when it comes to systems that have such a big impact on our lives. And another thing Conklin criticizes is the IRS's reliance on criminal prosecution.
Oh, yeah.
He argues that it creates this atmosphere of fear.
Right.
And prevents people from even questioning the system.
It's like they're being intimidated into silence.
Exactly.
He makes the point that the U.S. is one of the few countries that actually criminalizes tax issues.
Oh, wow.
He believes this heavy-handed approach is more about intimidation than actual justice.
It's a valid concern. The threat of criminal charges can definitely discourage people from speaking out or asserting their rights.
Right.
It's like they're using the legal system as a weapon to silence dissent.
Exactly.
Conklin argues that if the IRS had to rely solely on civil procedures to collect taxes, the flaws in the system would become a lot more obvious.
Oh, I see.
It would definitely shift the balance of power and force them to operate with more transparency.
Makes sense. Conklin also has this interesting theory about why most people end up getting a tax refund.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
He thinks the IRS intentionally designs it that way.
Really?
Yeah, using it as a psychological tactic to encourage filing.
That's fascinating.
It's like they're dangling a carrot, making it harder to resist participating in the system, even if you have reservations about it.
Right. Like you said, it plays into that whole idea of the income tax being voluntary, but with a catch.
Exactly. So what does Conklin actually propose as a solution?
Yeah, what's his big idea?
Well, he lays out some pretty sweeping changes.
Okay.
That he thinks would make this system more just and fair.
Like what?
He calls for a complete overhaul of the tax system.
A complete overhaul.
Wow.
Yeah.
He wants to flip the burden of proof onto the IRS.
Oh, okay.
Require jury trials for all tax cases.
Wow.
And completely eliminate criminal tax laws.
Whoa.
He also wants to prevent the IRS from using information from tax returns in any criminal case. And make them get a court order before they can seize anyone's property.
So basically putting some serious limits on their power.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He envisions a system that's more transparent, accountable, and respectful of individual liberties.
That's a pretty big vision.
It is, right. Yeah. And you know, even if you don't agree with all of his ideas, you have to admire his dedication.
Definitely.
He spent decades researching, writing, and fighting for what he believes in.
That's true. His story is a reminder that even seemingly insurmountable systems can be challenged.
Yeah.
And that individuals can have a real impact.
Absolutely.
He encourages everyone to educate themselves about their rights and get involved in the political process to advocate for the kind of system they want to see.
That's a great point. So after diving deep into Conklin's world,
yeah,
what are your biggest takeaways? What's sticking with you?
You know, for me, it's that ongoing tension
between
the government's need to collect revenue and the protection of individual liberties.
For sure.
It's a complex issue with no easy answers.
It really is.
And as we navigate this, you know, evolving relationship with the government, Conklin's story serves as a reminder that we as citizens have a responsibility to engage, ask questions, and push for a system that aligns with our values.
Well said. And on that note, we'll leave you with this final thought.
Right.
What would a truly just and equitable tax system look like?
Hmm.
And what role do you as an individual want to play in shaping its future? Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Of course.
And keep those wheels turning.